Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wish it was Sunday.
Another pleasant valley Sunday.
Sunday came and trashed me out again.
Wake up!
Good morning, and we're in trouble.
Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better. Braden Dental, two generations of dental care, downtown Lake Geneva.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Good morning and welcome to Life Matters on Lake 96.1. I'm Melody Judge, and joining me by telephone is our own Nancy Douglas. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing? How are you surviving? What's going on in your life right now? And we all miss you.
Aw, I don't think you guys do, but that's
yes,
okay.
We do. Yes, we do. Looking forward to seeing you at some point, hopefully sooner than later. But yeah, can you believe another week has gone by?
I know. We're surviving over here. We are. I'm just sitting here shooting up some Lysol, so I'm thinking.
Oh, okay, I was worried. I was like, "What are you shooting?"
Yep.
Okay. Well,
yep.
You have to let me know
because that's what the Donald said.
Oh.
That we should all inject Lysol.
Oh my gosh! And really, do
Listen.
People believe? And yes, there's going to be people that probably. Really go out and do this, which is very unfortunate. But I think we all understand that that's not what he was saying.
They'll still be classified as dying of COVID.
Of course they will. Of course they will. Anybody that steps foot near the hospital that passes away, unfortunately, is going to be classified as dying from Corona, from COVID-19.
Well, if you get hit by a bus and anybody on the bus tests positive, then you've died of Corona.
Oh, exactly. That's a
right.
good. That's good. Yes.
Just so you know.
That's
yeah. Just so you know. No, I am in fact not shooting up Lysol. Please
shooting
do
up
not
Lysol.
Email me as you do, always thinking that I am being serious. I am not being serious. And I will say, I personally watched that press conference. He said nothing of the sort.
So
nothing
what
like
are, see, and I missed that, but I did, of course, I woke up and saw those headlines, and that's all that was on the news Friday morning, was that mm-hmm. that is the two questions that he asked, and I'm like, no, there has to be more to the story, and if people are taking that for just face value, there's something else going on in your life that you need to figure it out, because...
Yeah, people are dumb.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they're just dumb. That's not what he said. He was talking about the he was talking about a procedure. Could you take that effect and apply it toward a person? And you know that theory, so to speak, that X kills Z.
Right.
And so can you? Would it? Is there a similar component that would allow that theory to be applied to humans? And
yes.
In fact, there is, by the way, there is. He was not off the mark. And it's just, but that is not what he said. Much like he did not tell anybody to go out and drink fish tank cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember
so,
that.
So, right. But when the media finds something that they think they can blame on him, they do it. And if they find anything that they think makes him look stupid, when in fact his IQ blows the media's IQ away. So it wasn't, that is in no way, shape or form what he said. Absolutely none. And people have got to stop and listen themselves
mm-hmm.
and stop just reading headlines.
Right.
And the media needs to stop putting out misleading headlines. I'm so disappointed in the media. Actually, I'm not even disappointed in the media anymore because it's just become so, this is just the way they do it.
It's so blatantly
you know?
Slanted all
uh-huh.
the time. Every single one of them.
Right. And it's just, you can't believe any of it. But does it ever occur to people, do you think, to just stop and follow your instincts? I mean, do you really think that he said this? Really? No. Could it be possible that, you know, do you have a reasonable degree of doubt that, you know, President Trump went on a went to a press conference and said, hey, why don't you start shooting up some Lysol? I mean, no.
Right.
That's not what that, and it wasn't even in that context. It wasn't even, it's just, so whatever. You got to stop believing the headlines and the mainstream media. They're horrific, horrific. Even our own local media at times is just, it's just so disappointing.
Oh, exactly.
And disgusting.
It sure is. And, you know, as far as for the light that, what did he say that the media is suggesting he did with, like, the UV light?
Mm-hmm.
There is therapy. UV light therapy does work for certain things. So, you know, I mean, really, honestly, people need to stop and think and do some research for themselves, because every news station has their own agenda, and it's creating money for that station and for who they're working for.
Right.
And for their political, yes, and
people,
ratings.
Yes, people need to understand that these folks get paid by eyeballs. If you click on it, read it, watch it, that's what they use to go back and tell their advertisers, hey, we have the potential to reach this many people, so this is what we're going to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that and they get those spikes in eyeballs, they raise their rates. And that's exactly what they do. Doesn't matter if it's true or not, because maybe in the last sentence of the story, they will bring the story full circle and say, oh, okay, well, you know, none of this has been actually researched. We were just putting it out there. That's not news. That's opinion. And so people have to understand how the media works, and they are no longer there to inform you.
No,
they are
not.
There to make money.
You know, and another thing, another point that I want to say is I really honestly don't know how they sleep at night. How can they go home and sleep at night knowing that they're putting this kind of garbage out into the world and into the front of the citizens of the United States? I don't get it. I don't know how that they even can live with themselves.
Right. Well, you know.
They're okay with it. That's whatever.
Well, I guess that's what melatonin's for. I don't know.
I
take enough of it, and you can sleep at night. But
it's sad.
I'm so excited about the show today. Our old friend Rebecca Clayfish. She's not old. We've just been friends with her for a long time.
Right.
that's nice, Nancy. Just make her mad before she ever comes on the show. The lovely Rebecca Clayfish, former lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, is going to join us. She's the jobs ambassador at the Associated Builders and Contractors, ABC of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put into place a lot of new rules and procedures because the construction industry, in fact, is an essential business. But it's not like they've just gone onto job sites and kept working and not worried about affecting each other or, you know, potential visitors to job sites or whatever. So they've put some plans into place that a lot of other businesses could kind of follow and maybe not be so overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
By the thought of trying to protect everybody and still stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to join us next and talk a little bit about how the construction industry is looking forward to kind of helping with the future normal and keeping businesses safe based on what they've been doing to keep their workers safe over the past few weeks and a couple months or so. And she's going to share that with us, which I think is really valuable information for some businesses, because I know it's very overwhelming to think forward and, oh my gosh, how are we going to overcome all this? Maybe this will provide a little peace of mind for our businesses. So Rebecca Clayfish joins us next right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Very, very good friend of the show, Rebecca Clayfish, joins us this morning. Rebecca is now the jobs ambassador for the Associated Builders and Contractors, ABC of Wisconsin. And welcome. We are so glad to have you this morning.
Thanks so much, Nancy. I really appreciate your willingness to have me back on the show. Good to be back.
Well, you have an open invitation to come back anytime, you know that, because there are people in this state that provide endless means of sunshine. Stephanie Klett is one of them. Mm-hmm. You are one of them. And we love to have you on because you have always this positive way of looking forward. And today you're going to offer a little bit of insight into a path forward based on the construction business, who basically has been operating as an essential business all of this time. But there's some lessons to be learned about their protocols going forward and how we can potentially apply them to businesses that are looking for ways to set up their, again, protocol to move forward with this once this shutdown has been eased a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have learned in that business and what we maybe can take forward.
Sure. Nancy, I am sad to hear you say that it's Stephanie Klett and myself that can bring the sunshine on a day like today. Now, granted, it's been kind of overcast over the last couple of weeks, but I think there are a lot of people who are just kind of feeling overcast because of what they've experienced. You know, we've been kind of shut in for the last 6 weeks, and we're looking at another four. You know, that's not good for our economy. It's not good for a lot of folks' mental or physical health. And when I think of Stephanie Klett, our former tourism secretary of the Walker Clayfish Administration and currently the head of tourism of the Lake Geneva area, I think, boy, what is this doing to the tourism industry in Wisconsin? And if this continues through May 26th, people make plans for their summer before May 26th. What is this going to do to one of Wisconsin's most iconic industries? Will Stephanie be able to continue to bring sunshine?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is the fact that in our area, we were just coming off of January, February, March when all of this started, which is completely dead as far as tourism goes, except for the tiny window of Winterfest in Lake Geneva.
Right.
And so we were already gearing up to move forward because that's how we have to do it every year. And then this hit. And so we need guidance on what we can do today to prepare to open tomorrow.
And that's why I think the construction industry is prepared to be a thought leader on this, because right away, ABC and others fought for construction to be ruled what's called an essential business. They could be operational even in the middle of what is essentially a government and a economic shutdown. You're not seeing government schools open to their students. You're not seeing the DMV. You're not seeing a lot of those basic functions in our economy and, you know, in the way we do daily life. And that's because of this coronavirus and the fear of contracting COVID-19. But we know we need infrastructure, right? Hospitals need infrastructure in order to continue to assure their patients can be made well in any variety of the newest and latest ways. So you need to continue to build healthcare. People need roads to travel on. You know that trucking and fulfillment has been one of the most essential industries in the middle of this crisis because they're the ones who assure that the groceries get to the stores, and the packages get to our patios and our front doors. And so we need to make sure that we continue to build our road infrastructure. We also know that when it comes to our future, manufacturing and agriculture, when it comes to home building, we can't just shut down completely. And so a lot of projects have continued and without delay. In fact, in the construction industry, what we are seeing that I think is kind of a ray of sunshine is that RFPs, requests for proposal, continue to be generated every single day. And in the construction industry, folks are responding to those. So there is a silver lining to this. There is hope to this in knowing that even if there is an economic downturn, there are some industries that are seeing that there will be a continuation of economic activity, and construction is kind of proof of that. And we've gone to work our construction workers in the middle of this pandemic by implementing a whole bunch of new safety protocols up and above what OSHA, the federal government safety restrictions, have ever suggested. Brand new stuff, especially for this coronavirus, this COVID-19 time.
Could you give us some examples of that?
Yeah,
absolutely. So when people come onto a construction site, and every company is slightly different because it's been a very surgical approach. There has been some criticism of the governor for kind of a one-size-fits-all approach for the entire state and all non-essential industries. So, for example, you know, in some cases across the country, you've seen car washes shut down as non-essential when, in fact, they're completely automated and they won't ever have any human interaction. So
right.
You kind of wonder, well, why shut something like that down? It may give someone a small amount of joy in this trying time when it has absolutely nothing to do with passing the virus on to another person. Why did that get kind of the one-size-fits-all treatment? A lot of folks are saying that about the shutdown of the economy, period. You know, we have 65 of 72 counties in Wisconsin that have seen no cases at all. Well, you know, that leaves 7 counties in Wisconsin that haven't seen coronavirus at all, and their folks are kind of asking, well, why are we wearing the one-size-fits-all T-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't even experienced what these other counties are. You're seeing sheriffs in Polk and Shawano and Washington, Racine counties stepping up and saying, hey, listen, this doesn't work for the way we are experiencing life right now. We're not in a one-size-fits-all situation. And you've seen governors like Kristi Noem of South Dakota or Kim Reynolds in Iowa say, we're going to be more surgical about our treatment of this. We're not going to do a one-size-fits-all type of thing. So you're seeing the same thing in the construction industry. The businesses have been ruled essential, but every company has kind of been given a choice as to how they want to implement safety protocols that they are developing. We're putting out best practices at Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin, and people are choosing whether they want to go over and above kind of those recommendations and best practices. So here's a couple examples of mm-hmm. what people are doing. In some cases, you are seeing contractors tent the openings of their job sites, and you can only get on to the job site if you're on a list of workers that are assigned to that job site every day. So if you're someone who's just wandering by or you're a curiosity seeker, you're not going to be permitted onto the job site. And in many cases, even the people who have contracted the workers aren't going on to the job site because it's
right.
one extra person. And if
right.
the person isn't needed for the building of the day, they probably don't really need to be on there. And so those folks are the only ones permitted onto the job site. In addition to that, in that little tent, you're seeing some companies go so far as to hire healthcare professionals to do those remote thermometer checks. So it's like a distance temperature taking, and they will determine based on that temperature whether someone has a fever and can proceed to the job site or not. You've seen a lot of this done in other countries. Well, it's being done not just in America, but it's being done here in Wisconsin in the construction industry. If you don't have a fever, you're permitted onto the job site. In
mm-hmm.
other cases, you're seeing companies change their porta potties twice a week and not just once a week. You're having people do constant hand sanitizer checks to make sure that it's completely full, and they're implementing more and more sanitization, so hand sanitizer stations all over the worksite. And in some cases where there isn't any hand sanitizer, some of our contractors have found that vodka distilleries have begun to produce hand sanitizer. And even though it's way more expensive, they want to make sure that they have this product on hand for their workers because they want their workers to feel safe at work, and they want their workers to be safe at work. They know that if they don't have employees who are happy and safe and well, they're not going to have a completed job. If they don't have a completed job, they're not going to have a happy customer. If they don't have a happy customer, they don't have a good reputation, and they're not going to be able to continue in business. And
so nor do they get paid.
Right. And they know that they've got to keep their employees safe and happy. They've got to keep the industry safe and happy. Otherwise, you know, it may get ruled unessential, not essential. And so they want to make sure that everything is done right. But on top of those things, you're going to see more tool sanitization. You're going to see people having a lot of those, you know, Clorox wipes, wiping down tools. You're seeing cleaning crews come in at night and sanitize job sites more than you ever did in the past. There are signs posted on job sites across Wisconsin. Sorry, you can't do a break as a group in the job trailer. You're going to have to bring your own lunch, and you're going to have to take your break or your lunch in your own vehicle. And P.S., you're not allowed to carpool anymore. We want you to come to the job site individually, leave the job site individually, because we want to make sure that people are maintaining social distancing. And then on top of that, you're seeing a different use of, like, the scissor lift. You know how people get up really, really high to work on, you know, the top of a story or even make it on to the next level of a building. Just one person at a time. And, you know, there are social distancing measures that are being implemented that are forcing our construction industry workers to just get really clever. You're seeing more people with masks on, for example. And you're seeing more people with those wipes and wiping down, like, the insides, like the cabs of heavy equipment, or implementing rules that say, hey, just one user per day until our sanitation crew can get in and disinfect this forklift, for example. So wash stations have been implemented, more sanitation procedures, more social distancing procedures, and I think what you're seeing is an example for other industries. Construction can kind of lead the way as a thought leader for new procedures and new protocols. If the construction industry can get huge things done and not share tools and not have visitors on site and think every day, am I doing all I can to protect my employees? Am I doing all I can to protect my subcontractors? Am I doing all I can to protect my company, my customer? Then, by all means, other industries can be asking those same questions, and we're happy to be the economic neighbor in Wisconsin to share some of these best practices so that others can get up and running.
You know, and that's it. We're talking with Rebecca Clayfish. She is the jobs ambassador for ABC of Wisconsin, the Associated Builders and Contractors. So, to me, though, much of this is common sense, and here's where, you know, I think that a lot of people have trouble with the limitations that we are under at the present moment, in that these things, this is not something that's difficult to do. We are not kindergartners. The construction industry is obviously taking the initiatives long before we're being told that we have to that we should, and set these protocols up in order to not only continue business through the shutdown, but past the shutdown, because, like you said, this is going to continue to move forward in this manner. But yet, these are common sense things that everybody can do. This is not something that is outside the box thinking. You clean up after yourself. Okay? You situational awareness. You know, all of these things, just be more aware. And so while it really seems overwhelming to some that all of these rules are being put out and all of these plans are being put out and you're being told what you can and cannot do, the fact is that if we all just kind of follow the guidelines you just set forth, at a minimum, we're so much safer going into the future. And again, it's not that overwhelming. Clean up after yourself. Be aware of others and be respectful of everybody's space. And this is just not that difficult going forward to keep everybody safe.
Nancy, I think you're right. I think that we as American citizens, we as Wisconsinites, have learned a lot from our grounding here for the last 6 weeks. And early on, we saw, you know, a bunch of spring break pictures and a bunch of people who weren't necessarily taking this as seriously as I believe Americans have taken it in the last number of weeks. And I think out of that has been born, you know, a sincere sense of wanting to all pull in the same direction and implement, like you said, those common sense procedures. I think that there is a great desire now to return to a little bit more normalcy, but also be super, super safe about it. Because nobody wants to get this virus. Nobody wants to spread it around until we have a way to achieve herd immunity or we have a vaccine. And all I'm saying is, let's learn from those who have already gone back to the economy and who are doing it safely, because there is an opportunity for people to get their jobs back. There is an opportunity to grab back onto a little bit of normal. And let's do it sooner rather than later, because eventually we will reach a point where I think we will see more mental health and physical health stuff going on. Already I've had a lot of anecdotal stories, people calling me and asking what can be done. And I think one of the things that can be done is we quickly learn from those who have already implemented smart, common sense protocols, and we use them ourselves.
Right. Right. I mean, this is not rocket science. This is keeping you and your job site clean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're allowed to set up your own rules if you want everybody that walks into your store or facility to wear a mask. Then you're allowed to say that. You're allowed to, you know, tighten up your rules and restrictions per your business. And in the same vein, you're also allowed to loosen some of those because maybe that's not necessary for your particular situation. But like you said, the construction industry could not stop. Like, there are things that aren't, you just simply cannot stop. But yet I haven't heard any reports, probably because they were smart enough to be proactive, like, you know, and follow these protocols. I have not heard of there being an excessive amount of COVID positive tests in the with regard to construction industry workers, you know, and again,
right.
It's because they were proactive, and it's time that we all start getting proactive instead of reactive, because we will be opening up businesses sooner rather than later. I'm still standing, and you don't have to comment about this, but I do not believe that we will be on the shutdown until May 26th. I think it's unrealistic and unsustainable, but we'll save that for the next segment in the show. But I, you know, we are going to be, you know, moving forward sooner rather than later, and we need to start being proactive and start planning today. But again, so many are overwhelmed by all of the other issues. Guidelines are helpful. Is there has ABC of Wisconsin put out something specific that people maybe can, you know, sort of take and use as some kind of model or some suggestions that might help, given the fact that, again, you were proactive and doesn't sound like you've had a spike in cases. So, you know, obviously something is working. Are you going to, or have you guys put out some of those suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. So ABC has about 900 members across the state, and they have been informed with almost a constant stream of recommendations based on OSHA recommendations, CDC recommendations, the NHI recommendations, you name the government acronym. We've been making sure to adapt and fill our contractors in on what the federal government is expecting, but also the Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards in Wisconsin. And all of those things have been emailed directly to our members. But you can also find good information and recommendations on our website. That's abcwi.org. And, golly, as long as you're there, you might as well visit abcwi.org/moneyjobs, which is our TV micro series. Every episode is under 5 minutes long. And our latest episode that will be coming out very shortly actually deals with apprenticeship in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis. And so when I talk about us being able to share best practices and some of those recommendations being available on the website, one of the things that we have established, and it's funny, Nancy, we were talking about this a little bit earlier before we even started pressing record, is education.
Mm-hmm.
In order to fulfill the needs of the construction industry, which is thirsty for new workers, we need what are called apprentices, which are the new workers who are getting trained in both classroom training and on-the-job training at the same time. And we call these money jobs because they come with, well, let's face it, a lot of money. They make very good money, and you're getting paid at the same time you're going to school, as opposed to those folks who are choosing four-year college or university, where they are paying a considerable amount to go to school. Average debt load for a Wisconsin four-year college student is about $30,000. And at the same time, you've got apprentices who are paying, you know, $2,000-$3,000 for the same year of school that others are paying many more thousands of dollars for at a four-year college or university, but they're also making money at the same time, and so they will emerge after those 4 years tens of thousands of dollars on the positive side, while a four-year college or university student will emerge from those 4 years of education $30,000 in debt. And so we've
right.
always made the argument that apprenticeship is the right way to go for those folks who find this industry appealing. But there are a lot of people who have wondered, well, my goodness, you know, you had to quit, right, in the middle of the whole apprenticeship. But that's not been the case. In fact, I just told you about all those on-the-job protocols that have been
right.
implemented. Well, our apprentices are still going to their jobs, and they are still using all of the same protocols that your full-fledged, you know, workers are using in the industry. And so they are learning about this kind of new frontier of safety and wellness protocols before a lot of their peers in the rest of the economy ever would. But on the
right.
same moment, they are also getting their in-classroom training done. The Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards almost immediately said, okay, well, what do you want to do? You want to spend this year's apprenticeships, guys? And ABC said, no. We need to make sure that we continue this pipeline of bright, talented workers because we're going to really need them. You know, even if we see an economic downturn, we're confident that we will return to good times. We're going to need construction workers because these jobs can never be outsourced. And so they have moved to a blended learning model where the in-classroom training is online, and they were very prepared to do it because they had already been working with some technical colleges and other ABC apprenticeship instructors on establishing learning practices like this. Never imagined implementing them full-time in an era like this, but it worked out so well. So if you want to visit our website, abcwi.org, and then put in that /moneyjobs, you'll be able to, hey, if it's the one thing you haven't binge-watched yet, binge-watch Money Jobs, and there's going to be a new episode on apprenticeship in the era of COVID-19.
How about Tiger King? Did you watch Tiger King?
I am embarrassed to say I did.
You're embarrassed to say you did. We join you.
Yeah, well, you know, not only did I do that, but you know, it's a terrible thing. I also have a TikTok account, and so all the things that you swear you will never do that you did during this quarantine time, I am so there for you.
That is a beautiful thing.
Say, though, that I have a TikTok account just to surveil my children. So, you know, I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old, and, you know, I'm just making sure that everything on their accounts is on the up and up.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, nobody makes a better CIA agent than the mom of teenagers.
This is the truth.
Seriously. There is nothing that they can do that you will not find out about or invented yourself.
Even on TikTok.
Even on TikTok.
That's fantastic.
But can we just very, and this is aside from the subject, but it's not. Can you just very quickly explain to people why it is so much more financially lucrative for our government for people to go back to work rather than not going back to work and bailing out people and businesses and everything? Can you kind of explain that why, if we're all sitting at home not paying taxes, that is a very, very dark future for us?
Yeah, it's just the basic law of supply and demand that we all learned in some way, shape, or form, but probably in elementary school. When there is supply and demand that match, you know, it's a perfect situation. But right now, we're seeing a bit of a mismatch. You know, we have an undersupply of jobs and a greater demand for tax dollars. Well, the concern here is government, which is funded by tax dollars, which are extracted from, you know, just the average you and me, you know, normal people's paychecks. And in many cases, you know, that's not super painful because we're in an era where we get our direct deposit from our employer and we're not getting written checks where we have to go cash them. And we take a look at it and say, wait a second, he promised me that I was going to be making $12 an hour, and it looks like, you know, my paycheck is closer to, like, you know, $10 an hour, $9 an hour. What gives? Well, you know, the government took a whole bunch, and so there's a little bit less frustration and irritation with government taking a chunk of what you've earned because you don't see it. It's direct deposited, and you're not going to see all of these line items. And so right now you have government using the tax dollars that they've extracted from all of our paychecks in order to fund all of the bailouts that we have been seeing. Obviously, Congress passed one just this past week, and, you know, it's necessary, and it's unfortunate that we have small business owners across Wisconsin and across this country that have effectively been shut down by this. I mean, we're talking about the tourism industry in Lake Geneva, and you're going to see very painful times for a lot of tourism entities that depend on that Labor Day weekend as their first big bump of the season. There are lots of workers who depend on the tourism season. And if we're just going to use tourism as an example, and like a small business owner who may own, you know, a hotel that's been shut down or a restaurant that's been shut down and is not making nearly what they could make because they're only catering to locals and it's only pickup or delivery. Well, an entity like that may need the money from the federal government, let's say the payroll protection plan, which was a way for these small businesses, let's say that restaurant, to kind of hold their payroll, make sure that their employees could continue to get paid even though that they weren't working as many hours. And that way they can stay open. They don't have to shut down. There are also a lot of what are called forgivable loans in a lot of these programs. A forgivable loan is basically, they say it's a loan, but you know, there's a very good possibility that at some point, the federal government is going to say, well, you know, we said it was going to be a loan, but you go ahead and keep it. We're really glad that, you know, your business is still in business type of thing. And they can count that as a save, essentially. But here's the problem with all of these plans in perpetuity. It's really important to save those businesses, right? Lake Geneva is absolutely dependent on the tourism industry, on that sweet little restaurant. You know, my sister worked at Popeye's
it's really, really important for all of those businesses to stay there because obviously those businesses pay taxes to Lake Geneva. Mm-hmm. And that means those tax dollars go to, you know, paving roads and paying for law enforcement and fire protection and assuring that there is a school system for the locals, that type of thing. Very, very important. However, if all of those tax dollars continue to be used and this goes on in perpetuity, that means that there are a whole bunch of tax dollars going out the door to pay people who are not working. And then that means they are not paying taxes, but only using or accepting tax dollars. At
right.
some point, the money is going to run out. I mean, you all know that 2021 is going to be the first year that Social Security payments exceed the number of dollars that is actually going to be taken in to Social Security. So the federal government is already kind of on the wrong side of the bank balance in one of its most important programs. All we're saying is you got to do basic math and basic supply and demand stuff here and say, wait, if people aren't earning money in the traditional economy, but yet they're getting, you know, unemployment insurance checks or, you know, these small businesses continue to be floated, it's through no fault of their own. They don't want that. They'd much rather be able to make money and make customers happy, build their reputation, and enjoy life. But if they continue to be floated, then we're going to wind up with a really bad math problem. And that's why you saw U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell the other day come out and say, hey, you know, states aren't allowed to declare bankruptcy, but should we reconsider that?
And, right.
You know, I'm deeply concerned by that conversation because y'all will recall that years ago, you know, I faced a recall election because we did something called Act 10 to fix our finances for the future because we saw that our pension obligation, when you're a government worker, you get what's called a pension as opposed to if you work in the private sector, you may have like an independent retirement account or you may have a 401k. Well, in government, we call that a pension, and that's where you pay into it a little bit, and then your employer, government, pays into it a little bit. But in Wisconsin, actually in the vast majority of states across the country, there were obligations made and promises made to our government employees that weren't really sustainable at all.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that situation, states every day continue to make this promise to their government workers, and there are going to be more and more pension funds that get vastly out of whack. I mean, Illinois alone, our neighbors to the south, and it's interesting how we are following the lead of Illinois in this period of quarantine. But Illinois is looking at hundreds of billions of dollars in pension debt, and if we wind up having this conversation about states declaring bankruptcy and renegotiating with their pensioners or bailing out that have made these obligations because there aren't enough tax dollars to go around, we're going to be looking at some pretty creepy math.
Right.
To get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
The government supplies things that cost money. If you're not working, you're not paying the government. It's just like if you don't go to the store, you're not able to purchase something. You cannot go and get it for free. You have to pay for it. Well, you have to pay for the services that the government is providing. If nobody is paying or not enough people are paying, then the government cannot continue to finance those services for you. And people don't understand how far-reaching that is. I mean, everybody wants to look at, you know, what's going to happen this summer and everything. But we need to look much farther than that. I personally am going to make a heck of a lot more money working and have a heck of a lot more personal choices and have a much better life if I'm working and paying my own way and contributing my share to the government in order to retain the services that I need them to provide. But if I'm just receiving money from the government and there's no money going in, to expect the government to continue to provide those services 6 months from now or a year from now at the same rate is, you know, again, I use the word constantly, unsustainable. And I, again, personally, yeah, personally, I want to go back to work. I'm going to make a heck of a lot more money. Everybody makes more money if you're working, or most people, than you can just being on the government dole. And so this isn't about this summer. This is about far into the future. And the fact that even if the government were to say, okay, we're going to give everybody $2,000 a month for the next year, we don't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, from where? We already don't have the money to do what we've already done. So that's going to have to be dealt with in the future. But where does anybody think that staying home for a much longer period of time is going to be financially lucrative for anyone? And we have to go back to work because the money isn't there for anybody to keep staying at home.
Right, and I think that that is something that people are really reflective about right now. Scared because every day the mainstream media talks about the number of cases continuing to go up, the number of people who have died continuing to rise, and if we test more people, we are going to see increases in numbers, but we're also going to see, I think, increases in hope and increases in the number of people willing to plan for the future. And I think there is a way to go to work safely. And that's why I think the construction industry is an important contributor to this conversation, because for those people who are fearful, for those people who have not gone to the grocery store or who have not gone to the gas station or who, you know, leave their packages on their porch for 3 days before bringing them in, I think there is a way back. There is a way back, and it's a way that is filled with safety measures and precautions. But the important message here is there is a way back. We can be both safe and we can be prepared for an economic reentry.
That's absolutely correct, and it doesn't have to be so scary to re-emerge from this. It just does not have to be that scary. And the Associated Builders and Contractors have put forth some very common sense suggestions that you guys are utilizing yourselves. We appreciate the fact that they're willing to share and show what's been successful in that industry over the last couple months. And we appreciate you guys doing everything. And we also appreciate them continuing to work, because we also know that the things that they're doing, the projects that they're working on, are vital to America and Wisconsin's future. And so the fact that they have, you know, overcome any fears and continued to do the jobs that they want to do, we appreciate that as well. And Rebecca, you are a great ambassador for that. Jobs are there is no way to overestimate the importance of the construction industry in this country. And we are so appreciative that you guys have put forth these protocols and utilized them, proved that they work, and have kept us and our construction workers safe. And now, like I said, again, are sharing all of these things with us. We totally and completely appreciate it. And the construction industry is going to prove to be a leader in this journey moving into the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Nancy. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And anytime you want to come back, like I said, you, Stephanie, there are people like you guys that just, you know, the word hope is definitely in the top three of the things that you provide, hope and confidence in moving forward. And that's everything we need today. And so you come back anytime.
Sounds good.
All right. Coming up next, Don't Even Get Me Started, right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
And now for another edition of Don't even get me started. Oh my gosh, we need to be back in the studio together.
I know, we do. We do. I can't wait. I can't deal with it, but you did a very good job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Don't even get me started. I feel as if the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks have been a huge don't even get me started.
Well, and my good friend AOC, Alexandria Occasionally Coherent, she wants to extend this even longer, and when you are allowed to go back to work, she thinks that you should just not go back to work.
What?
Well, she thinks this is a great time to protest anything that you have a problem with at your job. She said, just don't go back. Say, we're not going to return to this normal, to that normal. You know, maybe she's eating some of that ice cream out of Pelosi's freezer.
Maybe so.
Because as she sits in her nice, beautiful apartment with her $170-some thousand a year salary while she's not actually doing anything, she's not looking around at the people who depend on their jobs to do things like, oh, I don't know, feed their kids.
Right.
Or, you know, it's amazing to me how such incredibly tone-deaf messages are coming. Like, I just still can't get over Nancy Pelosi and her collection of ice cream the other day.
I can't either.
I can't get over it. I'm sorry, but what in the world are you doing to talking about that? How dare you go on TV when so many people can't even afford to buy milk
right now?
Right,
absolutely.
And you open up your freezer and you're proud of your ice cream stash? Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable.
And then AOC says, by the way, when your job becomes back available, maybe you should look at your boss and say, I have some demands. No!
No.
Go back to work. This is not the time to be,
anybody is going to be thinking about, I'm going to make these demands when I go back to work. First of all, be thankful that you have a job to go back to work, because we need to get the economy going, because many businesses are suffering and won't be able to, as your word is, sustain this any longer. I think that a lot of people are just going to be excited to get back and work.
Well, I wonder how many people are unemployed right now in New York in AOC district who are sitting there wishing that Amazon warehouse would have been built so that they could be at work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so true. Exactly. Uh-huh. So true. Like,
right. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ice cream. Anyway. Unbelievable. Did you see the Anderson Cooper interview with the Las Vegas mayor by any chance?
You know, I did.
I did.
And I don't know what to think, because I think that she meant well.
Yes, she did.
Okay. But I don't think that she meant, let's put a dome over Las Vegas and use our residents as a petri dish. I don't think that's what she meant at all.
No.
I also tend to agree with her when she says, it is not my job to tell people how to reopen their businesses. Mm-hmm. Because some businesses have to take different precautions from other ones, and that just really kind of tells, I mean, there's all kinds of guidelines out there. She's not an expert. She shouldn't be putting out any guidelines.
My blood is just boiling at Anderson Cooper for trying to lead her down this path and just keep hammering away. And she, from what I saw, she told him, she goes, you know what, Anderson, you are a very good interviewer, and I've admired your work and admired him for years, and she was grateful to be there talking with him, but she's like, I'm not going to go down this path. He kept at her, and it was disgusting to me, because I understood what she was saying. She wasn't saying
to open up tomorrow.
No, she wants her people. She wants her city. I don't want to say like her people, but she wants the city of Las Vegas to get back just like everybody else wants to get back. And if he has an issue with that and try to put words in her mouth, that to me, what we were talking about earlier with the media, it was just, I felt really awful for her. I felt, but well, she held her own, but I just felt really bad for her being raked over the coals like she has been. And, right. and for him to, you know, to do that to her.
She was trying to be hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't exactly come out that way because
right.
she, when she says things like, "Of course I want Las Vegas to reopen," she should have added the phrase, "when it's appropriate." Okay.
Perfect. Yes. Yes.
I don't disagree with that, but she just, yeah, he hammered and hammered and hammered. And
he's slick.
Boy, the media bias was in the spotlight, shining in the spotlight during that interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree. Like I said, she should have added a few more words.
She should have.
Because I think she was trying really hard. But, yeah, that's not, none of that was what she meant.
No.
And so, you know, but again, you have to use your instincts. I mean, do you really think that there's a person that has been in the position that she's been in for so long that's how she feels, is sacrifice for money? That's not how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, people have more common sense than that.
Yes.
And so I don't know. It's just the media makes people out to be what they're not every single minute of every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they did to her.
Yeah.
Along with the people who have tested positive, who may or may not have voted in person in Wisconsin.
You bet. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, in Kenosha last week, they mentioned that two people had tested positive for coronavirus, and they had voted in person. Okay, well, did they also go to the store? Did they get gas?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a visitor? Did they? Okay, but none of that part is reported.
No, not at all. Just, no, of course not.
Right.
Of course
and
not.
The fact remains that the spike that everybody knew would happen because of in-person voting did not happen. Period. End of story. It did not happen, and it was never going to happen, because you cannot blame it on that. You don't know where those people were. You don't know if somebody else touched their car in their apartment parking lot and they got it from a door handle of a car. We don't know.
Exactly.
So to put headlines out there like that is completely irresponsible and laying blame where you have no idea where it should lay in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I just... I mean, you know, but here again, if you only believe things that the media say and you don't A, read between the lines, or B, trust your instincts on whether or not that may or may not be true, then you're a sheep. You're just following.
You have larger problems than what's going on. Seriously, you need to
right.
be informed and figure things out and not be led down that path.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I do have one other thing. Or did you have something else?
No, go for it.
Okay. I have one other thing. I have a question. So Illinois is mandating that everybody wear face masks starting May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Why not like today?
You have a really good point. You have a very
like,
good
don't
point.
Why just say...
Right now, if it's that necessary.
Right. Like, you know, okay, go and sneeze and lick each other for another few days, but on May 1st, you're not going to be allowed to do that anymore.
May 1st.
Right.
May 1st, there's going to be, yeah, there's going to be some mist that comes down that's when it's going to be even more important for you to wear a mask. I don't know.
Right.
I don't
like,
get
why not just sit, why not just say, okay, effective immediately.
Immediately.
We are asking for you to please, we're going to give you a couple days to, you know, to get your mask.
To find
figure
them.
Out what you can do to make one, whatever you have to do. But why do you say May 1st? Like, that's a little over a week went by,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes.
When you say May 1st. So what? I don't understand that at all.
Good point.
Like I said, if people would just stop going out and sneezing and licking each other, we wouldn't have this problem in the
Please
first
don't
place.
Lick anybody. Please.
Stop licking people. Stop licking the food at the grocery.
Oh.
Stop licking stuff.
Ice cream. Open up
the... You know, this all started with Ariana Grande.
Yes, it did.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it,
with the donut.
Say her name? Yeah, licking the donut.
Donut.
Uh-huh. And that's, I say she's ground zero.
I think she is, too.
I'm just going to put it all the way back to that.
I agree.
I also am very, very, very interested to see if once we have all of this data and once we go back and do all of this unrealistic testing that we may or may not be able to do and that we're not going to be able to wait for before we open up this country, it will be interesting to see. There's some theories out there that say that this is the second wave, that back in November, December, January,
right,
that lots of people were sick, lots of people were feeling a lot of this, and we all wrote it off to the flu.
Yeah.
And that this actually is the second wave. And so it'll be interesting to see if once it's all said and done, if that is in fact the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that this is never going to go away.
No, it's
never
not
going to go away. And the lockdown, the safe-at-home order, was only supposed to buy us time to figure out how to manage it. We have figured that out now. And the citizens of Wisconsin need to be released with a common-sense plan to reopen their lives. It's not just jobs. It's not just stores. It's that it's reopening their lives. And we need to be moving forward without so much fear and with the confidence that Wisconsin citizens are smart enough and respectful of each other enough to open the state back up and open the businesses back up using common sense protocol, mm-hmm, and be trusted to do so. See, that's where I get it. That's where it ticks me off, is that don't tell me that I can't be trusted to be smart and keep my employees and my family safe. So I'm required to follow your mandate.
Mm-hmm.
I can read. I'm a mom. I've been taking care of sick people and keeping people from getting sick for 30-some years now.
Yep.
Because that's how old my kids are. We understand how to do it. Now trust us to get back to life with the care that we need for others, and we can do that. Wisconsin and the businesses and the citizens of Wisconsin are smart enough to do it without somebody that is not qualified to tell us what to do, telling us what to do. And by that, I mean the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrea Palm, who is, by the way, still not confirmed to her job. She's technically still an apprentice.
And has that power as an apprentice.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long that lasts.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very well said.
Mm-hmm.
Very well stated.
But, you know, and again, please do not email me. I am not saying that everything should just open back up and that's the way it goes and sick people be damned. That is not what I'm saying. Common sense protocol can apply, but May 26th is unrealistic and unsustainable. We all need to start moving toward opening much sooner than that. Period.
End of story.
I will stop ranting.
I think so, because I think we're out of time. But
never stopped me before.
That's true. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I think that was all that was on my list. Well, thank Rebecca Clayfish once again for joining us today. And, of course, coming up, more music right here on Lake 96.1.